You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott. It's time now for a science news update. Joining us is Carrie Grenz. She is an associate editor for The Scientist. And in that role, she reads through a lot of new studies every week and keeps us posted on the latest developments. Her picks for today, the Rosetta mission, mind-controlled mice, and tracing the cat genome. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Mike.
Let's start with the touchdown on a comet. Of course, there was a lot of excitement about this, but what does it all mean?
Right. So the Rosetta spacecraft launched its probe called Philae, and it touched down on a comet way out in outer space near Jupiter on Wednesday. We had a lot of excitement building around this because Rosetta has been out in space since 2004. And this is the first successful landing on a comet. And the goal of the mission is to drill into the comet to take pictures and other measurements. The Philae probe actually has a little chemistry lab on board, so it can do some analyses of the samples it takes. Scientists are very interested in the molecules on the interior of the comet, particularly water and organic molecules, which are the building blocks of life. So comets are the debris left over from when the solar system was first pulling itself together 4.5 billion years ago. And there's this idea that comets had smashed into the Earth way back when and brought some of these molecules to the planet, perhaps seeded the planet with the molecules that would go on to form life.
So this could really give us a better understanding of where we came from.
Right, exactly. The origins of life may be found within comets. And so now we have this Philae probe on the comet. They're gathering data already. It's been sending scientific data back to the researchers on this planet.
Now, it took 10 years roughly to get to this point. How long is this mission supposed to last?
It depends on the solar panels on the probe. If dust from the comet covers those up, then its life may only last a few days.
So Philae is not coming back to Earth, right?
No, Philae and Rosetta are not coming back to Earth. They will spin along with the comet out of the solar system eventually. The Rosetta mission is slated to last for about another year.
Now, Carrie, let's move on to your next pick, which is really complicated, but it involves an implant in a mouse that can be controlled by human brainwaves?
Yes, I'll try to break it down. So this implant is made up of human cells and an LED light. The cells are genetically engineered to produce a protein when the light goes on, and when the light goes off, it stops making this protein. The light switch is remotely connected to a brain-computer interface that reads the EEG recording from somebody sitting in the room. So depending on the signal from the brain's recording, the light will be on or off. And the researchers had people either play a video game or relax or focus on a light display to generate particular brain waves that would then turn on the light. So the people perform this mental task, the brain waves would then be interpreted to turn on this light, and then the light would cause the genes to produce this protein. So I hope I've simplified it.
And what would the mouse do?
So the mouse is just kind of hanging out. The mouse is alive. It's able to move. It's kind of in a contained area on this generator that's picking up these signals. So later on, the researchers could then take a blood sample and find this protein in the mouse's blood.
And what on earth could we eventually do with this?
That's a good question. People do have applications in mind. This is not just for fun. Of course, it would be far down the road, but the idea is that you could have a therapy based on this design. So for example, people who are unable to communicate, who may be immobilized, paralyzed, and can't speak, but maybe in pain, perhaps they could have an implant that delivered a painkiller that they could control turning it on by performing a mental task.
But that sounds like it would be a long time down the road.
Oh, yes, of course. But I will say, I think it's pretty remarkable how far this technology has come in just the past few years. The idea of controlling brain cells with light or other cells with light, it's called optogenetics, to engineer them in this way using genetics. It's only a few years old, and already we're seeing it do these very complicated tasks.
And finally, Carrie, your last pick for this week is the cat genome. Untangling that was a big big international effort.
It was, yes. It took a few years. And this latest paper looks into some of the genetic correlates of domestication. So cats became domesticated around 9 or 10,000 years ago. And it looks like several genes related to temperament and personality underwent some adjustments, perhaps not surprisingly. For example, there are a few mutations in genes related to aggressive behavior compared to cats' wild relatives. Other genes were related to fear, memory, reward learning. And this all makes sense. Cats are less fearful than their untamed counterparts. They're affectionate with humans. They're less aggressive. There were also changes related to cats' appearance, like their fur texture and their colors. Also not terribly surprising since humans breed animals for the way they look. But it was also neat. The researchers looked at cats' genomes compared to other animals, including dogs. They found genes explaining cats' ability to live off an extremely carnivorous diet and also their superior ability to sniff out pheromones and to see in low light and to hear really well.
We also know a lot more about similarities between cats and humans now, right? Because we're affected by some of the same afflictions and so on.
We do. So, you know, on its own, it's interesting to see the genetic signature of domestication. But to understand cats' genome also means to potentially understand human diseases that may have similar genetic underpinnings. And then, of course, any diseases that affect cats, because as our companion animals, that's important to us as well.
Carrie, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Carrie Grenz is an associate editor for The Scientist and a regular contributor to The Pulse.